This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hello and welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team behind Have I Got News For You, where we take you through our picks of the news this week when the TV show can't.
We'll be looking at both the serious and not so serious news items and trying to convince each other of which story we think would have been perfect for the show if it was on air.
Which it isn't. But let's introduce ourselves anyway. I'm Emerald Paston. I write on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Jack Harris, a sometimes producer of the show.
I'm Mike Raymond, sometimes series producer of the show.
And I'm Queenie Miller, the picture researcher for the show, which is obviously essential for a podcast.
Absolutely key.
So we're back again in the basement of Hat Trick HQ.
Yep, after last week's episode, they've demoted us down a floor to the basement's basement.
Things can only get worse.
So same as last week, in round one, we're going to take a look at the big talking point at the moment before we each bring our favourite lesser-known news story from the past week and we vote on whose would fit best on Have I Got News For You. And since I won last week, I'm in the host's chair today.
Right. So showing off. Fine.
I expect some respect. So round one, and the big story this week is obviously the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Yeah. In the wake of such a huge event, how does the show normally deal with topics like this?
It's difficult. I mean, I think the show's never shied away from doing difficult stories. You know, I know we all haven't worked on it the whole time, but over the years, I remember it covering other really difficult stories or stuff that isn't naturally that funny. But I think it's an important thing that Have I Got News For You can do. Testimony to Ian and Paul and the guests dealing with some quite heavy issues and then quite skillful at finding the comedy of it.
It's sort of bits adjacent to it, right? It's the way the media reacts and politicians, and it would almost feel odd if you don't talk about a subject that's like been such a kind of key thing that's happened in the week, basically.
It's pretty historic. I mean, I think the way to think about it is you're not punching down, right? You're not looking at necessarily the story itself, because obviously the shooting was horrendous. It's everything that comes afterwards. It's the reaction. It was Biden last week who said he's in my targets.
Yeah.
The bullseye, you know, or whatever it was.
Yeah. And he should know better. I mean, he was, given his age, we'll remember the Lincoln assassination.
It's kind of, they're pretty screwed now, though, because that's been their tactic the whole time. It's like, this is a threat to democracy. And I guess if you're constantly going through that, you know, Biden can't use his slogan of let's finish the job, which honestly, that's what he's been using, right?
Yeah, to say,
let's stay in for a second term so I can get all this stuff done. But you're like, quickly, no, stop the finish the job
finish
stuff.
Him. Yeah.
We're recording Wednesday. He's set to speak tomorrow night, isn't he? Trump.
At the Republican National Convention,
right? And he's kind of said he's rewritten his speech to talk about unity and all that sort of stuff, which you kind of think
he writes
seen
a
him.
Speech.
Yeah. Okay. He's told the person who writes the speech that it's going to be about unity. Whether or not he sticks to it, because it's Donald Trump and he gets really bored of his speeches, which is actually what happened when the attempt happened. He just veered off his speech and started talking about something completely different.
Didn't he say after that it was going to be a really good one?
Of course he did.
It was going to be really good, actually. Yeah.
So apparently some people at the Republican convention have been wearing fake ear bandages, using pieces of paper to do it. One of them said, this is the newest fashion trend. Everybody in the world is going to be wearing these pretty soon, which sounds like a weird threat.
Everyone's getting shot in the air.
I would say, as picture researcher also, that historical now photo of Trump with his arm in the air with the upside down American flag in the background blood coming out of his ear straight after he got shot, we'd likely use that as it's been such a big news item.
Do you think it will go, in terms of political pictures, do you think it will be as big as
Ed Miliband
and Meg Bacon sandwich?
Sorry for beating you to that punch.
You both went there.
It doesn't trump
it. It's definitely easier to look at.
Talking about the picture of the thing with his blood on the face and his fist raised, someone pointed out that there's an Instagram channel that took that photo, and the most important thing they thought was to look at what particular watch the Secret Service was wearing.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. It was amazing.
The Omega Seamaster Diver 300 meters, which I absolutely love that they're like, let's take this historic photo and we're going to focus on that.
So again, you can dress like the guy that didn't save the presidential.
And my other favourite thing is just how smug and proud Keir Starmer was about being the first person to
call out Donald Trump.
Ladies, if he wanted to, he would.
But he didn't he say, because they were like, oh, you could send them a note or like, yeah. And he was like, no, I want to speak to him on the phone.
But the only reason he was able to do that is the American ambassador. They've kept the same ambassador.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because he hasn't had a chance to change. And she's a
who they want
to
get rid of anyway, right?
They were going to get rid of her, but now they're going to keep her.
Oh, are they? Because of that?
Well,
because she's more connected to Trump.
I sense camp. A conspiracy theory. She set up the whole thing.
Yeah, there's a guy listening right now on 911lizards.com. Like, right. Typing away.
I personally believe that one.
All of a sudden that became a huge thing in the British press. They're like, oh, but you know, it makes me feel sick, but it's like, oh, Keir Starmer, he was the only
leader. He rushed to his aid.
Yeah. and then someone said, like, this will be really important to Trump. He won't forget it. And I was thinking,
oh my God. He doesn't know what I do, he's talking to me.
Yeah. Farage, Truss and Johnson, Boris Johnson, have all gone across to be at the convention, you know.
Triple threat.
Yeah. Could not get out there quick enough. And Farage, you know, every time he goes over to America, it's like a photo. He's got photos with Trump.
Yeah.
As of recording, I haven't seen a single.
No, I haven't seen one of them.
No.
Nothing of them
just
together.
Just him and Boris, right?
Just, well, him and Boris. But then Boris did a session.
Yeah, and the room was basically empty.
And not that I counted, right? But there are 180 seats in that fringe event that Boris Johnson did.
You sat and counted.
And there might have been about 36 people in
there.
Oh, my God. Which might is about 20% been. Attendance, which is basically the same as the Tory MP summer party, really, isn't it now? Sort of his style.
Also, did you see that Johnson's session, his backdrop was an advert for, it was sponsored by the Vapor Technology Association, which is an American lobbying organisation for vapes.
Oh, really?
Which I thought made sense because, like vapes, Johnson's neon-coloured heart seems harmless at first, but then has left loads of waste, toxic waste in his wake.
That's and funny. He's super cool. Yeah.
And a lot of teenagers are dependent on him.
And also I read a great quote that apparently one conservative figure in the US said about Truss. People see right through it and everyone talks of how unimpressive she is. So... So I feel like we've got a lot in common.
Yeah.
The US,
that's a special relationship, right?
Yeah.
In terms of news, from Britain's perspective, that we should be talking about is the fact that Trump's appointed his running mate, who is quite anti-British, quite pro-Russian, quite anti-European.
It's J.D. Vance, right?
J.D. Vance, yeah. By far the worst of all the J.D.'s behind Weatherspoons and Sports.
It does sound like a made-up name.
It's like when you go to the airport and they have a pub. They'd have like a, you go to a J.D. Vance.
Yeah, I think it's quite a cool name. As a teenager, I'd be like... I want to be called J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance.
Sorry, that was my watch. My apologies.
Sorry, have you just done that? So the watch guy's on Insta.
Oh, yeah. Checking like, it out.
Cast your attention. Shout out.
Become like, yeah. So he said Britain is the first Islamic state with nuclear weapons because since Labour came in, we've become an Islamic state.
I liked Angela Rayner when she got asked about it as well. Labour, like, so desperate not to fuck up their relationship
with
the US.
She said absolutely nothing.
She said the most English thing, which was
so
like,
English.
Well, he said a couple of fruity things in the past, which I absolutely love.
She went in full into, like, someone just talking about their granddad.
Yeah. But, like, I was reading, so J.D. Vance, and I was sort of reading about his rise up and stuff, and he is now a senator for Ohio, and became a senator in, like, 2022, and that's kind of where Trump sort of took notice of him and sort of thought, he's an interesting guy. But they were saying, I was reading how The Guardian was sort of describing how he turned himself into, like, a Trump-style right-wing populist. And they said he did it by criticising elites, tweeting about crime in New York City, promoting some, well, pretty spicy conspiracy theories, and he even grew a beard. Which I love that being the Guardian's way, right? He's pretty right wing. Yeah. But he's done a proper about turn, right? That's kind of like the thing that a lot of people are going at him and trying to stop him from being like vice president was because they were saying he used to be anti Trump. He called himself a never Trumper. And then he obviously realized where the wind was going, and so he's like now got on side and was like kind of sucked up to Trump.
I feel like the whole world's doing that with America because the thing is, everyone's terrified they're going to pull out of NATO if Trump comes in, and he's talking about pulling funding, and you just think, yeah, he probably will if he decides it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
And what he decides is bad is all down to how much people Kiss are. So maybe maybe Keir Starmer did the right thing.
Yeah.
And obviously there's photos of David Lammy, the foreign secretary, hugging him and bantering with him, which maybe he feels awkward about now.
I think he doesn't mind because he's called Trump like yes. a threat to democracy, and, you know, but then so is J.D. Vance.
Exactly.
J.D. Vance literally called him, he asked, is he America's Hitler?
But he meant it as a compliment.
Yeah. I think when he said it initially.
Trump, I think that's the misunderstanding. Yeah. Wow, this guy really gets things.
But what I loved about it is when Trump said the bullet was like the world's biggest mosquito. I just love that he's gone for world's biggest. I mean, the Secret Service obviously come in for a lot of criticism as well for stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you saw the director told ABC News that the reason the actual roof used by a shooter wasn't on top of it was because it was too dangerous for Secret Service agents.
Yeah.
Because it was sloped.
Too sloped.
Too sloped, which you think... That is going to boil the piss of the MAGA supporters. Of like anything that's going to get them going, right, is the idea that health and safety regulations.
Or is it just
are the reason?
Yeah.
Maybe just at all of Russia's border points now, they just need like a little
tiny little incline.
Yeah, they can't get up it.
Yeah.
Who knew that would be the thing that stops people? Yeah. That's it.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. Now it's time for round two, where we each bring our favourite story from the past week that we think would be best for round two of the TV show. So I've decided that, Mike, this week, you're going to start.
How dare you? I've got a different story. The story I've been inundated this week is the fact that James Cleverly plays Warhammer.
What?
Which you all sent me, I think, individually.
Yeah.
And several people sent me.
It's widely known that Mike is a massive nerd.
I was going to say, it's widely known that Mike loves James Cleverly.
Yeah.
True. I am a big Warhammer fan. I'm excited to see someone playing it in politics.
Do you reckon
politics.
He'd be good? I don't know what constitutes good at Warhammer.
Well,
just like, no friend.
His painting was all right. He needs to work on his edge highlighting.
Mike, do you want to explain what Warhammer is for people who aren't absolute nerds?
The greatest game of all time. Well,
I know what it is. So
it's described as it's a fantasy game where you get small models that you assemble and then paint, and then you play a game with it.
Queenie, did you just yawn?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Cleverly, if you're listening.
Fucking bring it, mate.
Anywhere, anytime. My Necrons will absolutely mash you up. My actual story involves researchers at the University of Amsterdam who've been conducting an experiment to try and work out what causes people to blush with embarrassment. So they're hoping to uncover the signature of blushing in the brain. Uh-huh. So they've taken 60 young people.
Yep.
They've taken them off the streets, snatched them. 60 young people aged 16 to 20. What do you think they did to test how embarrassed they got? Any ideas?
Did they video them on a night out and show them dancing or something like that?
Do you know what? Genuinely, that's not too far off.
Okay.
So they said, we're conducting a social experiment. They sort of were quite shady about it and what they were doing. Then they got them to sing karaoke and they recorded them.
Yeah.
And then they made them watch it back. And they gauged their reactions to watching themselves performing karaoke.
This is brilliant.
Oh, my God.
That is my absolute worst nightmare.
What's everyone's karaoke song?
Oh, I don't have one. It scarred me too much. Once I was in Germany when we sang S Club 7. And they weren't known in Germany. It was just horrific. Anyway.
Oh, love that.
What's yours?
I once sang the Beatles in America because I thought it would impress Americans. And they didn't have a fucking clue what song it was.
No,
it was Hey Jude. And it's a really long song.
How did you sing it that no one recognised?
No, they knew, but it's like so long, and they were just waiting for us to get off. And it was like three British lads. We thought we were going to be really impressive and pick up all the ladies, and we did not in any way. Do
What's
I want
yours,
that to be the
lady?
I should say.
Wow, all the ladies. That might be one of the most horrendous things you've ever said.
That's probably. I'm going to blame part of the reason is because I kept referring to people as lady.
We can now we've recorded that. We can play it back to you and send the results to University of Amsterdam.
What was the result of the study?
Well, what's interesting is they restricted the songs they could do.
Okay.
Even worse.
So the options were.
Yeah.
Let It Go from Frozen.
Horrendous.
Hello by Adele. All I Want for Christmas Is You, or All the Things She Said by Tattoo.
Yeah, that one's very wrong.
That is good.
That one's excellent.
I was going to say, all the other ones are quite rangy, right? Quite hard pitch levels. And I saw they did this on purpose, right? To make it really hard.
So they got a bunch of self-conscious teenagers
in. Oh my God.
Oh, no.
Lighten them up while they were there and gave them really hard characters. The tracks are deemed hard to do well and thus were contenders to cause the maximum embarrassment.
Oh my God.
I don't
God.
Know if anyone's met this generation of teenagers, though. They're not embarrassed about anything.
You say
they're not.
That.
I can say they that as say closest in not. Age to teenagers I, right
I've
now.
I've seen you embarrassed, Queenie.
About
seen...
literally name one thing.
Oh my God, don't. We can,
no, we can,
oh,
wow. Can we?
No, but the number
it.
Of times that Mike and I have made you kind
oh,
of...
Oh, that's secondhand embarrassment.
Embarrassing because you've said something really
Jack,
cringe.
Can I just distance no, myself from you embarrassing a junior member of the team?
No. Like okay, yeah. If we sang you Happy Birthday in yeah. the office, you would absolutely
would,
hate it.
I would hate it. I wouldn't be embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed for you.
See, that's the best I'm deflection you, ever for I'm your embarrassment.
You should be a politician.
Your best deflection ever. So
I worry about your ability.
No, you'd be embarrassed.
This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm you'd saying this generation would do in this study.
No, but you say they say that about all generations. They, like, so I was reading this thing about, oh, Gen Z don't drink, all this sort of stuff. They do. They're all on it. They're all on drugs.
Yeah, you would
and
know.
They're mental, aren't they, Generation Z? That makes you sound old. Anyway, can I just say?
But I'm hanging out with a bunch of teens.
We're going to change the name of Potter in the GB News.
Well, what I'm saying is, it's always a thing of like, oh, well, this is the new generation that does that. Oh, millennials are not embarrassed. Millennials don't drink. They don't have sex, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's always just the media going on about stuff. And then mm-hmm. really daft stuff comes yeah. out, like this study, that you're like, brilliant.
It's a staple of Have I Got News For You Round 2, that,
The good scientific study.
Scientific
yeah,
story.
That is great.
Queenie, what have you got for us this week?
I have a story that's about... museum curator Keisha Cashel. And basically, back in 2020, she created a space which was women only for an exhibition, mm-hmm. Which immediately got a lot of flack for being discriminatory, so much so that she got sued. And she did an incredible thing in the courtroom. Her and 25 other women dressed exactly the same and like strutted in with sunglasses and made it into a performance piece.
That's definitely the best way to get the judge on side, isn't it? By doing a performance piece.
Oh,
in
yeah.
your trial.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it, yeah. I don't yeah, think yeah. it helped her case, really but it was pretty bloody iconic.
Yeah.
But in response to the court ruling, she then moved the Picassos that were in the ladies' lounge that were women only to the women's toilets.
But you're saying they're Picassos.
What are you saying?
Nice.
This is why we pay you the big bucks. The latest update is that the Picassos were faked. She basically wanted to have a green Picasso in the ladies' lounge. There wasn't one available, so mm-hmm. she was just like, I'm going to paint one. I wanted it to be green, so I'm going to paint one.
I suppose it's quite funny that it's like caused outrage about Picasso, which then got moved somewhere else, which also caused outrage, moved somewhere else, and then actually... They're like, yeah, it's fake anyway.
Yeah,
it's quite ironic that they put it in the women's toilets and end up being a load of bollocks. I've actually been to MoMA. It's a crazy place. It's in Tasmania.
It is.
Like, which is like the Luton of Australia. So it's quite weird that there's this amazing museum there.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, the Luton Museum of Modern Art is fantastic as well. Did you ever tell the first time I arrived in Luton? I arrived in Luton for the first time and in the car park of the train station there was someone with a baseball bat just hitting a car at 5 p.m. in the afternoon.
Official
welcome. Welcome to Luton.
Yeah.
That does sound like a performance piece though.
It was, yeah.
What
yeah.
I was going to say, I'm not being horrible to Luton just for the sake of like, I'm not being snobby.
Mm.
It's just I'm from Watford and
you can be snobby about
it. No, we just don't like Luton. Yeah. and I stand by that.
In the interest of balance, Watford shit as well. I should say that.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm from Uxbridge, which is quite near. So,
ooh,
should we say that shit as well?
Lardy da.
Jack, what is your round two story this week?
Well, it's kind of I guess it's quite a big topic, but we'd go. I think it would go in round two, but obviously the Euros. So
the men's Euros, yeah.
Basically, obviously we lost on Sunday. Very sad. And Gareth Southgate, he stepped down.
Welsh First Minister Vaughan Gethin also stood down. So job swap with Gareth Southgate.
Ooh.
Yeah, excellent. They'd love that.
They're both terrible at their own jobs.
Well, I mean, you'd say that all the papers have been very sentimental about Gareth Southgate going, saying
I
thanks, Gareth. Yeah, he was on front page, Gareth Southgate second.
Yeah.
But then you've kind of got that, everyone, oh, great, we love Southgate. Daily Star... Didn't give a toss, just straight away went, we want Jurgen Klopp, he's the best, get him in, because he's got the best teeth, which I think has
you
a reason to get him
the
in.
Daily Star to yeah. do
Love it,
like
they
that.
Weren't, they didn't care about Southgate going at all.
Well, it worked with the royal family, you know. brought the Germans in. Done away.
Yeah. Still going strong. Yeah.
The Spanish reaction is always good. Always like to see what the kind of the other team's papers say.
Yeah.
The headlines I read was one said, England face another bitter dollop of eternal tragedy. They had Spain.
That could be the headline like every week. Yeah.
Which condiment though?
Yeah, great. What would it be? What would be the most bitter dollop? Probably a Coleman's mustard.
Mustard. Yeah. Wasabi? They're not very British.
Yeah.
English mustard. Oh, no, it'd be what? Bread sauce.
Oh, yes.
Bread sauce, the most uninspiring and sippy.
So true.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
We also had Spain kick the football into its inventor's face, which I thought is great. Oh. And they just really gone
really
for
trips
us.
Off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah. And this one, I thought.
Better in Spanish.
They've really gone for this. They said, England will have to find a new Sir Francis Drake to sink the Spanish fleet as Spain threatens to dominate the seas of international football. 58 years have passed since England last seized some booty.
How big are their newspapers? I've really enjoyed the reaction from mostly the Scots and the Irish. Just really, really just that giddy relief.
I was going to say, because it was a lot of like squeaky bum time until Sunday. And then it was a lot of release once we did lose it.
Gross.
Bad metaphor. Bad metaphor.
Yeah. I wonder, is there something, about the Euros I don't get? So it's like a Europe-wide tournament.
Uh-huh.
But I've looked online and I can't find anything about how well Australia's done in it.
I mean, the only thing I quite liked in my own personal watching of it is that, you know, Lamine Yamal, is that how you say his name?
Is that the 16-year-old?
16 turned 17. Yeah. Someone I was with, she was absolutely convinced that he had to come off at 70 minutes because when you're 17, you can't work for longer than
that's actually
70
true.
Minutes. So she was like, well, he's going to come off now. I was like, I don't think they adhere to those rules in international football.
Yeah. Wait till she finds out he's not on minimum wage.
Just finally, I'm going to ask a question that we would ask on the show. Why would Dan Thomas from Swindon, why was he particularly upset about the loss, do we think? Dan Thomas from Swindon.
Is he a Tory advisor and he's bet loads of money on this? Oh, just can't stop betting.
That's really good.
He basically, reported in the Swindon Advertiser, which is normally a sort of, well, it's the second, if not the third paper I go to in the morning for news.
Sure.
In Swindon.
Yeah, yeah. He got a tattoo, obviously, which said England 2024 winners 3 days before the tournament. Classic.
What are you doing?
Obviously,
and English wonder why the Scots and Irish hate them.
Yeah.
It's the DNA of the most arrogant aspects of being English.
That is a very English thing, right?
It's like if I got Corbyn 2019 tattooed on me.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying I didn't do.
But the detail I like the most is that the tattoo artist said that after, you know, tattoo, he said, I've had quite a few queries off the back of the tattoo. Mainly, I'm assuming, is that guy okay? Should he be in charge of his own money?
Unbelievable. It's so good when England lose.
So that's mine. Emerald, what's your story this week?
So my story is another sort of old house story, similar to what I had last week. But basically, the National Trust is imposing a new tax on visitors, and it's for visitors who make only fools and horses jokes when they see the staff cleaning the chandeliers in their buildings.
Wow. You two are going to get taxed so much.
So true, you won't be able to resist.
Yeah.
I do love animals and horses.
Basically, it started in Bath assembly rooms, and they've heard the jokes often. They say now you have to give a voluntary donation, but it's for anyone who says one more turn, Dal, or brace yourself, Rodney, brace yourself, from the famous scene where the chandelier falls down. It goes even further. So the experience and visitor manager for the assembly rooms suggested that people should donate if they are even thinking about the comedy scene, which I thought was very Orwellian.
Really harsh. Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
For even thinking about it.
Yeah,
I love someone just there going, are you thinking?
You smoked a little bit.
Good luck enforcing that.
Yeah, of all the institutions to bring in thought crimes into the UK, I would have thought National Trust would be top.
I suppose National Trust must have lots of chandeliers, right?
I've got some numbers here.
Across the trust,
there are more than 600 chandeliers, and the visitor tax is going to be extended to all these country homes.
Yeah.
So let's say they clean each of those chandeliers twice a year, and let's say they get a minimum of 5 people just thinking about the Del Boy scene, and each of those people pay like a couple of pounds. They're going to be raking in £12,000 every year.
Oh.
It's So, like, just enough for a Taylor Swift ticket or something.
Wait,
just enough for a coffee and a scone at a National Trust location.
Right. Honestly, wait until JD Vance hears about this. Woke, gone absolutely mad.
So true.
Can't make pro jokes tax. About, yeah, pro tax, exactly.
But I also wondered, are there any other professions who could raise a tax on, like, the cultural, pop cultural lines that get said to them?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, lawyers could do it.
Oh, yeah?
You know, because same with Only Fools and Horses. Every time someone falls for a bar.
Yeah. I'm really good.
My only thought was, yeah, removal men carrying sofas.
Yeah.
Anyone that says pivot to them.
Anyone with a broom triggers. It's the same broom I've been using for 10 years.
Very
17
good.
Heads, mm-hmm. 12 handles.
Anyone carrying a ladder, just to me to you.
Yes. Oh, a classic.
Oh, to me to you tax would so much money.
I can see them putting that
I would
thing.
Owe so much money.
They should actually bring in a tax on a Borat tax. Anyone who does Borat impressions, not like just wherever you are. Mm-hmm. Actually, it shouldn't even be a tax. You should be just put in jail. The second someone goes, my wife is like, right, 10 years, no,
that's it.
No parole, no visitors.
So, who takes the crown this week? Which story do we think would be best for round two in Have I Got News For You? Mike, what are you thinking?
I did really enjoy the art story. It's hard between that and Euros.
Yes, come on.
Just,
nah. I don't know why.
This is such a ridiculous... I really want to win. There's no reason.
And it feels good. So, Jack, you can't vote for yourself, though. So what are you voting for?
I really like... I like the Chandelier story. It's quite a lot of... Mm. There was some fun stuff out of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also think that we're suckers for a good science study.
Yeah.
So I think maybe I'd probably go the science study.
Oh, Queenie, what about you?
I would say that the Euros would probably go in round one, question two, or round one mm-hmm. in general. And that the Chandeliers story is so good, but I think it would be better as a missing word and then have like a tokyo gag off the back of that. So I would say Mike's.
Because you don't want to have to read out the thing next week.
No, the karaoke element I think is funny.
Yeah. And everyone would have something to say about karaoke.
Yeah. My vote's going to Mike. So I think that means, Mike, you take it with your story about the scientific karaoke test.
Thanks, guys.
I think that's our show this week. So thank you, everyone, for listening to In the News this week. For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and X, formerly known as Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us using the hashtag HignifiPod or emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode. Bye!
I think we've forgotten to mention, and if you have any Warhammer-related questions, get in touch.
No. Please stop.
Happy to discuss factions, tactics, anything to do with the lore or the game. Guys, where are you going?
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The engineer is John Wakefield. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is, but that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.